You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Well, good afternoon, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's good to be with you. I hope things have been going well for you, and I hope family is happy and healthy. Let's pray, brothers and sisters, and this is a lovely prayer by Saint Ignatius of Loyola, and it's a prayer for trust. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O Christ Jesus, when all is darkness, and we feel our weakness and helplessness, give us the sense of your presence, your love, and your strength. Help us to have perfect trust in your protecting love and strengthening power, so that nothing may frighten or worry us. For living close to you, we shall see your hand, your purpose, your will through all things. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as you know, we've been talking about trials and temptations. And one of the things, you know, we talked about in the Bible about Job. You know, he's one of the people I had mentioned from the Bible, and when there were some really trials that befell Job, all his cattle and his sheep and camels were stolen and burned by robbers. His servants were killed, and to top it all, his children were crushed in the collapse of his house, and he was covered in boils. This succession of what we would call calamities happened to Job. And so when you think of that, everything that you had, and he was a very wealthy man, and he was a good man who loved God. And this is what happened. And what approach then did Job take it? Well, first of all, number one, he did not blame God. And he did not employ any human means to take back his wealth from the robbers. Instead, he was able to quiet himself before God. And he believed that we human beings receive our blessings from God. But in the same way, we also suffer calamity. So no matter how much at odds with his notions, a situation that had happened to him, he continued to praise the holy name of God. And he said, Jehovah gave and Jehovah has taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. Brothers and sisters, when things go wrong with us and people blame God, we blame God. Why did you let this happen to me? How could you let this happen to me? I've been such a good person. I would give my time, my money, my energy, my whatever to church. And I help out Father, and I help out this, and I'm part of the Knights of Columbus, or I'm a CBWL member. And it goes on and on, brothers and sisters. And we just feel that we're in the right. How dare God make us suffer, us good people? Well, Job bore a very strong and resounding witness for God, and he passed through God's trials. What followed these trials were increased blessings from God. What happened was Job's wealth and his cattle were increased twofold. Each one of his children were outstandingly beautiful, and God allowed Job to live for another 140 years. And so he lived until he was 210. By experiencing such painful trials, Job endured suffering that we ordinary people could never have endured. His faith was also raised to a new height, and he stood witness for God before Satan, and thus causing Satan to be so utterly shamed and defeated that it never dared to attempt or tempt Job again. Therefore, Job was free, and he lived entirely in the presence of God. And moreover, an even greater blessing which Job received after he had undergone these trials was that God appeared to him within a whirlwind, and God spoke with him, and thus enabling Job to enter into a closer relationship with God. Wow. That's all I can say is, wow. Imagine, brothers and sisters, to go through something so terrible, to keep praising God and thanking God for everything, even though you are left completely alone, and you still have your faith and you still love the Lord with all your heart. And then the Lord turns around and blesses you tenfold. And then to reveal himself to you, to show himself to you. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters? I can't bend my left leg, but I will tell you, I will bend it. I don't care how much pain, I would bend it just to see his face. Job became much more certain than ever that everything he had encountered was under the sovereignty of God, and that his understanding of God became much more practical. And this was a blessing greater than any material reward. Then we can talk about Abraham, you know, the father of faith he's been referred to. Brothers and sisters all know that when Abraham was 100 years old, God gave him a son. And boy, oh boy, Abraham loved Isaac dearly. But one day, God's trial befell Abraham, and God said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you of. Well, think about it. This kind of trial would be hard for anyone to endure, so much so that some people would fight against God and be filled with misconceptions. Yet what approach did he take? Although he felt great distress and pain, he obeyed God. He didn't even try to argue with him or lay down even a condition and say, well, okay, but if you do this for me or if I do, you know, there was no bartering. There was no asking, are you sure, you know, are you sure this is what you want? Just when he had taken Isaac to the mountain alone and he raised the knife ready to kill him, God sent an angel to get a hold of Abraham's hand, and the trial then ended. Furthermore, God swore an oath and bestowed great blessings onto Abraham. God said that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Genesis chapter 22. Brothers and sisters, when God wishes to orchestrate someone, this whole orchestration is often at odds with man's conceptions, and we can't understand it. But it's exactly this complete misunderstanding that is God's trial and test of man. Abraham, even meanwhile, was able to demonstrate the obedience to God within himself, which was the most fundamental condition of his being, and able to satisfy God's requirement. Only then, when Abraham was able to obey God's requirement, when he offered Isaac. That, brothers and sisters, well, that's the test, right? That was Abraham's test, and of course, he came through with flying colors. Not anybody can do what Abraham did, but it takes a certain amount of trust in God to be able to do what Abraham did. And thank goodness, because God, of course, richly blessed him. You know, it's not hard for us to see that from the trials which befell Abraham and Job, that every trial we encounter contains God's good will. Not only can they enable us to gain God's blessings, but even more importantly, they allow our spiritual lives to grow in leaps and bounds. We gain much more knowledge of God, and we can follow the path of belief in God more strongly and with such stability. Although the trials which happened to Abraham and Job are not ones that we ordinary people would experience, as we don't even have their stature, and neither are we qualified to endure such trials, yet we can still encounter all kinds of difficult and different trials in our lives, both big and small, right? Regardless, brothers and sisters, we can believe in miracles, and we know that God's hand is on us all the time. We can come to understand that if our belief is in God, no matter what, we always can stand strong and be faithful, knowing that God is going to take care of the situation. One of the specific tests from the Bible is like an obedience test, right? So when Abraham, way back in the book of Genesis, right, when Abraham put his son Isaac on the altar, well, that was the test of obedience, right? How many of us could actually pass such an extreme test today? Well, especially in the type of world that we live in, where you would be immediately prosecuted if you tried to do such a thing. I personally don't think God would ever do this type of test in our current day and age due to the extreme dangers of it. But the point is that God may actually arrange for a test to occur to test your allegiance and obedience to him. So here is an article I can give you right now of the main verses from the Bible, showing you the extreme importance that we fully obey every order and directive that we receive from the Lord in this life. If we cannot be fully obedient to the commands and leadings of the Holy Spirit, then God will not be able to use us in the actual callings that he has set up for our life. In the kind of world we now live in, this test would actually be hard for many of us to pass. The reason being is due to all of the material and lustful things that are out there, competing for our time and our attention. These material things cause our flesh to want to try and act on. And once our flesh has been riled up and excited, it will do everything it can to try and get its own way, even if it means disobeying God himself. That is why God will test you in a specific area, to see if you have the strength and the character in your personality to be able to override the desires of your flesh and ego and be willing to obey God over all your wants and desires for these material and lustful objects. Brothers and sisters, here's something else. God knows, along with the evil one, where our weak spots are. And so God will probably arrange for a kind of test that would test our weak and vulnerable spots, just like he did with Abraham, by asking him to sacrifice his one and only son at the time that this test was being set up. God may ask you to give up something or someone. He may ask you to give up the job you're currently working at or the person you're currently dating, as this person may not be the one that he has personally picked out to be your mate in this life. Whatever God may be asking us to do for him, we have to realize that it is an obedience test being sent our way, and that we must fully obey the Lord with whatever he will be asking us to do for him. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters. It isn't easy to obey the Lord on everything, but with the Holy Spirit, you can ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you with that. I know I have done that time and time and time and time again. If it's something very challenging for me, it's a shock to my body, and my body is reacting to it, I ask the Holy Spirit to give me the unfounded strength that's not of my own, but to have the strength, the calmness, the wisdom, the patience, the peace to deal with a situation before anything. Brothers and sisters, if we ask God in everything and anything, do you not think we would have a more peaceful life? Do you think that maybe we wouldn't react so quickly to something if someone challenges us, berates us, belittles us, says something to us in a very derogatory way? We would be very different people. And I think that is what's important, that we would be thinking and being guided through the Holy Spirit. And what is going to come out of our mouth will come, hopefully, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, words of love and words of calmness and words of reason and maturity. And that is amazing, blessed ones. It is not easy to be human, is it? We are so imperfect. We all have our own little quirks about us. And when something challenges us, it isn't easy for us. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to come to us, to grow in us, so that we can have a more peaceful life. If we can't, obey God with a specific command, then God will question us, and he will doubt our ability to fully obey him further down the road with anything else that he may be asking us to do for him. The bottom line is this: God is our shepherd, and as we are his sheep, we are to fully follow him in this life, and every single directive and command that he will be giving us along the way. The Bible tells us that we are to be led by the Holy Spirit in this life, not by our own wants and our own desires. This test right here will determine who gets promoted into their true callings in the Lord and who doesn't. Brothers and sisters, always remember, you came into this earth, you were born with purpose for a reason. Not one of you, not I, not anyone, is born by accident. Everyone has come with a purpose, a God-directed purpose. And God knew you before you were in the womb, and he called you out. He's called me out. And here we are. So, Abraham passed his test, and you saw what happened to him as a result. He became the father of many nations, and his bloodline was used as the bloodline that brought our Savior Jesus Christ into the world so he could go to the cross and save all of us from our sins. And here is the verse that was said in Genesis 22, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." So if you want to enter into your true calling into the Lord, then get it settled right now in your mind and in your heart that you will fully obey the Lord with every specific thing that he will be asking you to do for him in this life. So here's the other thing. I'm going to share a little old story, and it's the idea, the point is about praying and praying all the time. There was an old Abba or father who had a reputation for praying all the time. A young man arrived in the desert to begin his training, and he happened to meet this Abba and asked him how he learned to pray continuously. And the Abba said, "If you understand me correctly, the devil taught me to pray all the time." The young man was shocked. "The devil wouldn't want you to pray. Why would he ever teach you to pray always? What do you mean?" The Abba answered, "When I first arrived in the desert, I was overjoyed. This was where I always wanted to be. I had never been in the desert alone overnight. However, and when nightfall came, I was afraid. Were there wild animals or other dangers? And in my fear, I stayed awake the whole night and I prayed. And when daybreak came, the fear of the night left me. But now another fear came upon me. Where would I get food and drink in the wilderness? So I again began to pray earnestly, asking God to help me find something to eat and water to drink. By the end of the day, I had found some. But then the fear of the darkness returned, and I stayed awake all night to pray for protection. When daylight returned, I faced the fear of finding food again. This pattern of praying all day and all night went on for some time, and gradually I became familiar with these needs. I no longer feared the night, and I had learned to find food and drink during the day. As these physical trials ended, spiritual assaults began. Temptations and trials of all kinds came upon me, day and night, and so I resisted them day and night by praying continuously. Finally, when I felt I could no longer endure these trials, I called out to God in prayer and begged him to lift these difficulties. And when he did, I realized that I was left with the gift of praying all the time. We can benefit from trials and temptations, but we shouldn't go out looking for them. There are plenty of them around, and they will eventually find us. Jesus himself taught us to pray, "Our Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We mustn't put ourselves recklessly into occasions of sin or foolishly bring on our own problems. When God permits trials, we can draw much good from them if we cooperate with his grace. So, if you feel you are being tested continuously, pray for the grace to pass each of these tests of your love for the Lord with flying colors. So, that, brothers and sisters, is our broadcast that we have for trials and temptations. And I know that we are nearing the end of our broadcast, which is fine. But you know, brothers and sisters, in everything and anything, we ask God's help. Everything and anything. No, don't wait for the big stuff to roll around. It's hard at that point because it's really important to keep on praying, thanking him for your blessings and asking him for help when you need it. You can have our Blessed Mother intercede. As I said before, there are many angels and saints that you can call upon to help you. Brothers and sisters, this world can be a beautiful place if we could walk in the path of holiness, if we could walk in the path as Jesus, knowing that his hand is in our hand and he loves us. You know what? Sometimes I think of Jesus as my best friend, and he has a box of Kleenex with him. Because so many times when I walk outside, especially in the fall weather and when the temperature is quite cool, oh, my nose starts running. And then I keep thinking, oh, I wish I had a Kleenex in my pocket. And I have four boxes at home. Why didn't I bring a Kleenex with me, right? I just feel that Jesus is like, he's coming with his box of Kleenex to console us, to help us, and to say, you know what? I didn't forget you. I know you're suffering, and I'm here to help you. If you just ask me to come into your heart, if you just ask me, and I will help you. It just says in the Bible, ask and it shall be given to you. You know, knock and the door will be opened. So my friends, as we are closing up our broadcast, thank you so much for being with us today. It is always a pleasure being with you, and I so enjoyed being with you, and I look forward each and every time, every Tuesday and Friday afternoon here on the Father's Quilt, our greatest station, Radio Maria, a Catholic radio station. You can't go wrong, right, brothers and sisters? So God bless you. Please join me next time and enjoy the week and make the most of your life. God is with you every step of the way. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.